Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to this Monday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. It's great to have you with us as we start a whole new series with the teaching ministry of Derek Prince. I hope you were with us last week. We talked about relationship with God and God's people. This week, we're going to be talking about seven pictures of God's people. And I'm so excited about this word pictures in this title because I've studied a little psychology, have a background in education, and I know that psychologists teach us that we think in pictures. And so when I say the word dog, you don't picture in your mind the letters D-O-G. You picture your dog or Lassie or some neighbor's dog. In other words, a picture jumps into your mind. Well, we think in pictures. We think about ourselves in pictures. And so the Word of God paints pictures of who we ought to be and what we can be. In fact, that's why the Bible tells us in the book of James that we ought not read the Scriptures, see an image of who we are or who we're made to be, and then walk away and forget that person, forget that image that we have seen as though we're looking into a mirror. So today, Derek's going to be teaching us about seven pictures of God's people. And if you miss any of this series, log on to our website at derekprince.org and you'll find not only this series, but other series and some great material about Derek Prince Ministries. Well, let's get right to it as Derek Prince teaches us about seven pictures of God's people.
In various passages of Scripture, God's Word is compared to a mirror. Not a mirror that shows us our outward physical appearance, but a mirror which shows us our inward spiritual nature and condition, a mirror which shows us to ourselves as God sees us. You see, God doesn't see as we see. This is clearly stated in 1 Samuel 16:7, where it says this, "The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So you see, this mirror that we're talking about shows us not the outward appearance, not what we see, but it shows us what God sees in us as He looks at our hearts, our inward spiritual condition. Now, if we look into this mirror before we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, it shows us our unclean and sinful condition. But once we've been reconciled to God and cleansed from our sins, after that, when we look in the same mirror, it shows us not what we were previously as sinners, but what we have become as God's new creation in Christ. We experience in a personal way the truth of scriptures such as these. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." And again, Ephesians 2:10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Later on this week, I'm going to speak more fully about the use of this mirror and how it works. But for the present, I just want to explain that our purpose throughout this week is to look by faith into the mirror of God's Word and really find out what kind of people we are in God's sight as God's people. In our studies throughout this week, we will not be looking at ourselves primarily as individuals, but rather as what we are as God's people collectively. For this reason, the title I've chosen for my talks is Seven Pictures of God's People. It's tremendously important for all of us that we do not underestimate ourselves. The devil is very happy when we do this. On the other hand, God wants us to understand how wonderful we have become as God's redeemed people, and how central we are to the outworking of His purposes in the earth. Now I'm going to turn to a scripture in the book of Exodus, which presents very clearly God's primary purposes in redeeming His people to Himself. These words were transmitted to Israel from God through Moses as they gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai to enter into the covenant with the Lord. This is what it says, Exodus 19, 3 through 5. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice, and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. That phrase that's translated there, my own possession, represents a Hebrew word of which no one for certain knows the exact meaning. Another translation is a special treasure. The King James Version, I believe, says a peculiar people. I think it's rather exciting that we don't know exactly, because it leaves open so many possibilities. But what we do know is it's something beautiful, it's something wonderful, it's something far above the level of what we could imagine or think for ourselves. That's what God wants to make us. That's why he redeemed us. Let me point out, therefore, the two primary objects of redemption as they're revealed in these words of God to Israel. First of all, notice what he says about the actual act of redemption. In verse 4, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Most important to see that. God brings the redeemed to himself. That's the first purpose of redemption. It's to bring his redeemed people into a direct personal relationship with himself. That's true in the Old Covenant. It's true in the New Covenant. God brings us through redemption to himself. Reading the history of God's people in the Old Testament, I'm always impressed that few of them apparently really grasped this primary purpose of redemption. They were interested about the law, the material blessings, the promised land. They were looking at things. But most of them, I think, missed this wonderful, direct, personal relationship to God, which is possible only through redemption, and which is the primary purpose of redemption. And I believe possibly many people today in the New Covenant really don't appreciate that the primary purpose of God is to bring us to himself. Everything else is secondary. The second purpose of redemption stated there in Exodus 19 is that God makes the redeemed into whatever you translate that, his own possession, a special treasure, a peculiar people, something different from all other peoples in the earth. Let me say it this way. God invests in people. God is much more concerned about people than about things. This is brought out in Deuteronomy 32:9, where the scripture says, For the Lord's portion is his people. God's purposes center around his people. We need to understand that the ultimate purpose of God with his people is not just to redeem individuals. The redemption of individuals is included, but it's not the ultimate. The ultimate is the creation of a special people, a single, new, organic whole, something different from whatever existed amongst peoples before God intervened through redemption. God is not just redeeming a certain number of individuals, but he's making for himself a single, distinctive people. I think one of the big problems in many areas of contemporary Christianity is that we've put all the emphasis on the individual and the individual's relationship to God, all of which is tremendously important. But we've missed out on the fact that the final objective of God is not just redeemed individuals, it's a special people.
Isn't it wonderful the way Derek presents our redemption from sin? That when we are cleansed from our sins in Jesus, that's the same thing as having removed from our lives all the things that keep us from fulfilling our destiny, from fulfilling that image that God has already painted of us. How beautiful. Listen, there's so much more wonderful stuff to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
For most Christians, prayer is, well, prayer. Just one kind, done basically one way. If it were music, it might sound like this. Nice, but what if there were more? What if there were different types of prayer for different needs, seasons, and reasons? With the Holy Spirit orchestrating praying people to bring God's marvelous plans and purposes to pass, it would sound like this. In his eye-opening CD, The Prayer Orchestra, Derek Prince reveals 12 distinct types of prayer and explains how each prayer instrument is designed to accomplish a specific purpose in your life and in his kingdom. Best of all, this classic teaching is free for the asking when you call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Don't settle for a week, one-note prayer life. Order your free CD, God's Prayer Orchestra, and play your part in all God wants to do in you and through you. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely online when you visit us at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and if you're just joining us, we're just starting a series today on seven pictures of God's people. And Derek is teaching us about the image of ourselves that we see in God's Word that ought to shape how we live. Let's listen as Derek teaches us seven pictures of God's people.
I want to deal with a very important practical question. How is God going to make us into the kind of people that He intends us to become? And, in particular, how can we cooperate with God in achieving this result? Let me recapitulate briefly the purposes of redemption as they are illustrated in the passage I read from Exodus 19, 3 through 5. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine." I pointed out there the two primary objectives of redemption. First of all, God brings us, His redeemed people, to Himself. The primary purpose is a direct, intimate, personal relationship with the Lord. And if we miss that, we've really missed the center of the whole purpose of God. Secondly, through redemption, God wants to bring forth a people that is totally different from anything the world has ever seen. This people is called my own possession, or a peculiar treasure, or a special treasure, or a peculiar people. There are various translations. The exact meaning of the phrase is not certainly known, but it means something beautiful, something wonderful, something just a little bit mysterious. That's what God wants to make out of His people. Now, in order for God to achieve this purpose, there has to be a process of transformation. When God first redeems us, we aren't all that we ought to be. We aren't all that God intends us to be. I marvel at God's faith in even starting on some of us, and I include myself in that. I want to give you an example of how the process of transformation works, very simply. It's an example from Jesus' call of His first disciples. It's recorded in Matthew 4, verses 18 through 20. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed Him. That's really a very simple scene. There's not a lot of complicated psychology, but it contains the essence of what has to happen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." There are two main aspects to that. First of all, Jesus requires total commitment. Leave it all. Follow me. I'm not telling you where we're going. You just have to follow me in faith. Put your life in my hands and let me take care of the consequences. That's essential. God really cannot work His purposes till His people are fully committed. Then He says, follow me. I'm not telling you where we're going, but I am telling you what I'll make of you. I will make of you fishers of men. You see, the important thing with every one of us, God's redeemed people, is not what we are, but what God wants to make us. And if we'll only yield to the Lord, he guarantees he'll produce the finished product. First commitment, then God begins to work on us to make us what he wants to be. The same principle is contained in the teaching of Paul in Romans. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Paul says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Notice that word transformed there. That's the process, transformation. That's what God is working at. Now let's look how it comes about. And you'll see again the first step is commitment, total commitment to God. It's expressed by Paul there in the words, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. He's thinking in terms of the Old Testament sacrifices, which were the bodies of animals, sheep, goats, and so on. But those animals were first killed and then placed as an offering on God's altar. But once they were placed on God's altar, they no longer belonged to the person who offered them. They belonged totally to God. They were totally at God's disposal. Well, Paul is saying to us as Christians, you've got to offer your body to God in exactly the same way. And once you've placed it on the altar, it'll no longer be yours. It'll no longer be at your disposal. It's entirely at God's disposal. He says there's only one difference. Your body won't be killed first. It will be placed living on the altar. That's total commitment. Commitment leads to thinking a different way. Our minds are renewed. Our values change. Our priorities change. Things take on a different meaning. It doesn't happen till we're committed. It's something God does, but he only does it for the committed. And then when we're transformed in this way by the renewing of our mind, we are able to test, to approve what God's will is. We can really find out what God really wants. See, God doesn't reveal what he really wants to the uncommitted. He has a secret, wonderful plan for each of us individually, for his people collectively, but he only reveals that plan to those who are committed. So you see the order? Commitment, then transformation from within, leading to the revelation of God's purpose.
Don't you love it when Derek decodes those troubling words in the Bible? Like peculiar, for example. What did God mean when he said we're a peculiar people? Well, of course, it helps to know Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic like Derek did. But, of course, peculiar means a unique and specially fashioned people. It's like that time in Ephesians 2 and verse 10 where God tells us that we are his workmanship, and the Greek word is poem. We're his carefully crafted poem. There's so much more wonderful material to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
For most Christians, prayer is, well, prayer. Just one kind, done basically one way. If it were music, it might sound like this. Nice, but what if there were more? What if there were different types of prayer for different needs, seasons, and reasons? With the Holy Spirit orchestrating praying people to bring God's marvelous plans and purposes to pass, it would sound like this. In his eye-opening CD, The Prayer Orchestra, Derek Prince reveals 12 distinct types of prayer and explains how each prayer instrument is designed to accomplish a specific purpose in your life and in his kingdom. Best of all, this classic teaching is free for the asking when you call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Don't settle for a week, one-note prayer life. Order your free CD, God's Prayer Orchestra, and play your part in all God wants to do in you and through you. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely online when you visit us at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. If you're just joining us, you might not know that we're starting a new series today called Seven Pictures of God's People. Now, you haven't missed much. You can easily catch up on the website at derekprince.org. But this is a wonderful teaching all about the images of God's people in the Word of God. We think in pictures, and the Bible gives us pictures for understanding God's will. So be sure and check on the website if you have missed any of this. You'll be able to catch up and keep up with us. And by the way, we'll be talking about this topic all week, so be sure and join us at this time and have something to take notes with, because you're going to want to dive into this wonderful material with Derek Prince. Let's get right back to it as Derek teaches us about seven pictures of God's people.
I want to speak about the use of the mirror in this process of transformation. You'll remember that I said God's Word is a mirror which shows us not what we are outwardly, but what we are inwardly, and that this mirror is an essential instrument in the process of transformation. We have to look in the mirror. I want to say a little more now about the actual way we use the mirror. I want to refer to two passages from 2 Corinthians. First, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Notice it's all in the plural. It's not just for individuals, it's for us all, God's people collectively. As we look in the mirror of God's Word, we behold the glory that God is going to work in us. And as we behold this glory by faith in the mirror, and continue looking in the mirror of God's Word, the Spirit of God transforms us into the likeness of what we see. But if only if we look by faith in the mirror. If we don't look in the mirror, the Spirit of God can't work on us. And it's not just one single transformation, but it's from glory to glory. Each time we have arrived at a certain level, God shows us there's a higher level. It's time to move up, and so on. But all this transformation depends on two things. First of all, our looking by faith in the mirror of God's Word. Secondly, the work of the Holy Spirit when we do this. Let me close by just outlining three steps in this process. First, we look into the mirror of God's Word by faith. Second, when we look, the Holy Spirit reveals our destiny. It reveals where God has us headed, what He wants to produce in us and out of us. And third, as we continue looking by faith and do not take our eyes off the mirror, the Holy Spirit continues changing us into that which we have apprehended by faith. And each time we apprehend new truth by faith, we experience a further transformation. It's from glory to glory.
You know, I was reading a book recently, and the author said that when he met the woman he would one day marry, that the way that she saw him, the words she used to describe him, seeing himself through her eyes changed him. It made him want to be a better man. It made him see himself in a way he had never seen himself before. Well, this is exactly what God does. God frees us from our sin and then shows us a picture in Scripture of how He sees us, so that we are able to live out those images and those pictures rather than the images and the pictures that have been painted for us by the world and by our sinful past. Man, this series is so wonderful. I hope you'll be able to join us again tomorrow. Be sure and log on the website at DerekPrince.org. You'll be able to keep up with everything going on with Derek Prince Ministries, and also pay attention to this series and all the previous series that we've had. Well, that's all we have time for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a few moments to order your free CD of Derek's insightful audio message, The Prayer Orchestra. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and this special CD are both free. It's our way of saying thank you for your support of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.